This is Doug Miller. You know, you are never more like Jesus than when you are humble and seeking others' good and not your own. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue. Our privilege and our great pleasure, I assure you, to be back with you one more time, this side of eternity, this side of the trumpet and the shout and the resurrection of the saints in glory. One more time to come in here and to sit down before this microphone with the Bible in hand and to speak the Word of the living God, knowing that it is going out and it will change lives. Great privilege for the Lord to have put us into this ministry, and by the grace of God and by your prayers and support, we at Dialogue intend to be faithful to it. We, of course, are utterly dependent on your prayers and on the prayers of those who are interested in Dialogue and for your support by your word of mouth passing on. We have no advertising budget. We're not going to have. Not going to waste the money of the saints, of people who have sent us money and that kind of thing. Going to put it into, as God gives us grace, seeing this word go out and that alone. Now, of course, I always say this because it's always true. We would love to hear from you. Always a great pleasure to read the letters of those who have written in and who have contacted us, who've said nothing more maybe than we're out here listening, brother, right on. Put the word out. We're praying for you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Now, if you didn't get that, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, I've got also another little thing that I'm sure be giving out every time from now on, our webpage, so that you can go online if you are technologically able, and all of you younger people are all put me in the shade on this kind of stuff. Just go online, www.dialogueministries, all one word, .org. Be sure to put .org. And hit a return, and this page will jump up with an anchor on it. This good-looking guy, really kind of an ugly guy, doesn't matter. You might say, why the anchor? Well, we'll tell you about that. Go online, www.dialogueministries.org. Okay. You know, when I was a kid growing up, turn to the third chapter of Philippians, incidentally. We probably finish up the third chapter this time. Lord willing, might not, you know, we're in no rush, as those of you who've been listening to Dialogue know. But when I was a kid, I used to hear all the time that I should be like Jesus. I should be like Jesus. And, of course, back in those days, this is before I was ever saved, I thought that being saved was a matter of me, you know, working hard to be like Jesus. Well, of course, that's a good way to drive yourself into a mental institution, because no matter how hard I worked, friends, I was not like Jesus. I was just like my miserable, weak, ineffective, sinful, wretched self. I was just like the guy who was on his way to hell, and here I was, you know, people telling me, be like Jesus. Well, how in the world do you expect me to be like Jesus? See, the people that I was around didn't know the gospel. Wouldn't have known the gospel if it stopped them on the street. They, too, were as lost as I was, most of them, and leading me right down the primrose path to the pit. But, you know, once I got saved and heard the gospel that Christ Jesus died for me, and was buried and rose again, and that he paid the price for my sins, and there was nothing for me to pay, and I could just come to him and by grace through faith be saved, and he would be my Lord, and the Holy Spirit would come and indwell me and begin to show me the things of Christ and leading me in the way that leads to eternal life, ultimately in heaven with him in glory, and that eternal life really begins right now, once I'm born again. I want to tell you, it was a wonderful thing. It was a wonderful thing. I was just kind of I was a new man. I was born again. And, you know, to step out in the morning with the Lord, to know the joy of living with and for the Lord, it was a great thing. Problem was that a lot of, you know, the flesh was still very active in me. And even though, you know, now I had the Holy Spirit leading me in the way everlasting and showing me the things of Christ and working within me to conform me to the image of Jesus Christ, I still had a lot of problems. And most Christians, if they're honest, will say, yeah, I hear you, brother. I hear you. I hear you. Me too. Well, let me tell you something. As I said before, I will now say again, you are never. You want to be like Jesus? Good. Good. Now you pray, oh God, oh Father, in Jesus' name, make me like your Son. And you know what God does? He sends humiliating experiences your way in many times. He sends people into your life who take advantage of you. He lets you be in a situation in which you are not appreciated, in which people don't seem to like what you do, in which you labor away, and maybe the very good that you do, someone else takes credit for it. And you say, well, that was my idea, and there he's getting all the credit for it. And look at me, friends. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If that's what's happening to you, you had better get down on your knees and thank God, because you prayed, oh, Father, let me be like Jesus, your Son, and he is making you like Jesus. And then you say, well, look what's happening to me, Lord. They're slapping me around, and I'm being treated terribly here. And God the Father whispers in your ear, son, daughter, isn't this what you prayed for? Isn't this what you asked for? It is suffering. Back in the 10th verse, Paul said that I may know the fellowship of his suffering. Back in the first chapter of Philippians, we read at the end, unto you it is given. It is given. And I mentioned this before, but look at it again. Unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Then that word given, the word is the word that we get our word charismata. All of you charismatics out there, it's grace gift. It's a grace gift. It's something freely given in grace. Now, there are other Greek words for given. There are other Greek words for gift. But the word that the Holy Spirit specifically uses here is a grace gift. You said you wanted to be like Jesus. God came along, the Father, and in answer to your prayer, put you through humiliation and suffering and belittlement. And you start to whine and cry about it, that's exactly what you ask for. Instead of whining and crying, lift your head and look up and thank God. Now let's pick it up in verse 16 of chapter 3 of Philippians, and let's see this. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same things. We have had Paul, and we were looking at it last week, talking to us, his prayer, conformed to the image of the Son, his prayer that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. It is in that way we reach resurrection life. In the same way he did, we go down into death, and after suffering, we come up with him in newness of life. You want to walk in newness of life with Christ in resurrection life. You want to stand circumcised with the flint knife on the far side of Jordan in heavenly places in Him? You want to know what Hudson Taylor knew when he said to his friend, "If I could only tell you how God has changed my life, how the Lord has changed me." He said that as an old man. He'd been out in inland China as a missionary for many years. He wasn't talking about salvation. He was talking about something else God had done for him, a work He had done in his life. You want to know what that is? Get ready. He will put you through humiliation. And now we are talking about your walk. The walk of this rule. Walking in newness of life with Christ, minding the same thing, with a mind like the Lord Jesus, with a mind like Paul, with a mind like any victorious Christian, because why? We have the mind of Christ. Paul wrote that to the Corinthians, didn't he? Way back there. We have the mind of Christ. He is in us. And as we yield to Him, you know what we're going to do? We're going to find ourselves in agreement with one another and walking by the same rule and the same mind. Now, there is a lot of confusion out there in Christendom. We've got the church all split up into all these denominations and all of this. And any of you who've been listening to Dialogue very long know how I feel about denominationalism. And denominating. And if you're one of these individuals, you're really committed to your denomination, you'll probably find a guy like me very offensive. But I'm telling you, I've read the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. I see what Paul said about, you know, splitting up and denominating. One says, "I'm of Cephas," another of Paul, another says this and that and the other, and you're just walking like mere men. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus and His Holy Spirit do not lead us in that direction. Never have, never will. We are, as believers, one in Christ. We have the mind of Christ, and we are to walk in that way. You walk as you have us for an example. Now, wow, come on. Paul, you're tearing me up again. Here we have this man. And this is, incidentally, this is not just Paul, you know, saying in his own conceited and lofty opinion of himself. No, no. Oh, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit saying it and saying to Paul, "You put it down." Now, Paul, once again, is not saying here that he's a perfect man, but he is setting himself out here as an example. And what is the example? Well, among other things, there are different answers to this one, because Paul says this more than once. But right now, he is talking once again about an individual pursuing after Christ, pressing for that mark, one who is with one mind of the Lord in these matters. And look, if I am out here arguing with my brethren, fighting with my brethren, I cannot get along with them, and, you know, I'm over here, and I'm of this denomination, and you're of that one, and we can't have, you know, as you've heard me say on here before, I learned a long time ago, back when I was first saved, that I have everything in common with people in another denomination from me other than the denominational name. I have nothing in common with those who are members of my church and my denomination and are not saved, and there are a bunch of them. There are a bunch of them. There are not a bunch of them now because I long since severed all ties with any kind of denominationalism, but, you know, there were a bunch of them then. And after I got saved, I had nothing in common with them. Nothing at all other than that denominational name. And here was a guy over here in a different denomination, but he was saved. He was a believer. And boy, I just gravitated toward that guy. I loved him. That's the Holy Spirit in me and the Holy Spirit in him drawing us together. And that's the truth of the matter. And we have an example here. Now look at verse 18, and let's just go right on along here. Many walk. of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who mind earthly things. Now, who are these people? I'm persuaded that they are individuals who would have called themselves Christians. I'm absolutely convinced of it. There's no point in Paul saying this about a bunch of pagans out there. We understand that the pagans, that the unsaved world out there, are not walking, as Christians do. Here are individuals who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, why they would call themselves Christian, I don't know. Isn't this interesting? I can remember back when I was still over in the denominations before I made my break with them and said, that's the end of it for me. I can remember I had a Sunday school teacher who sat right there in Sunday school and said that he did not believe in the physical resurrection of Jesus. Wasn't important to him, he said. He just thought that was a bunch of old superstition and stuff. Well, this particular group I was affiliated with at the time was simply lousy with people like that. This was not an unusual thing, and I am telling you. You look out there in Christendom today, and it is full of people like this. Well, why are you down here in this church? Why are you down here in this building with that cross up on the steeple, claiming to follow the man who says anyone who does not take up his cross to follow me cannot be my disciple? If it's not important to you, why don't you go join some other organization? Why don't you go out and, become, a part of, there are plenty of good secular organizations out there that you can just belong to and do all the good you think you can do over there. But why are you down here? You're an enemy of the cross of Christ. Your end is destruction. Your end is destruction. It is damnation. That's exactly where you're going. And you will look up out of the pit of hell and cry at that time and cry out, is there no deliverance? And there is not. You have made yourself an enemy. And you go out there and do all the good you think you can do and preach all the lies you think you want to preach and tell people all you want to that there are many ways to salvation, not just this way of the cross of Christ. You go on in that way, and your God is your belly here, your glory is your shame. You are minding earthly things. You are purely earthly and secular, and you will, I promise you, rue the day. But I've got something else to say to you if that's what you are doing. You listen to me carefully. I don't care who you are or what you are or what you think you're doing. God loves you. And I love you. You say, well, you don't talk like you love me. You've been saying some terrible things about me. Hey, I love you enough to tell you the truth. And God loves you. And he sent his son to die for you. And as long as you are alive and still listening to me, there is time to repent and turn to God who sent his son to die for you, his son who went down into death for you and came up in resurrection life and is now at God's right hand in glory and has sent forth his Holy Spirit to plead for you and to say you come by the way of Jesus Christ and the cross. There is no other way. And as long as you are still alive and can listen to me, there's time for you to repent. And if you don't, then you will stand condemned at the end. And I am persuaded that the very words you have heard this morning will stand up against you. And if you say, I didn't know, God will say, oh, yeah, well, I want you to listen to what you sat and listened to long ago down there on earth. Now look at those of us who are saved. Look at this. Look at verse 20. Our conversation, the word is citizenship. The word is polituma. I get these accents wrong sometimes. It's citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's, we are citizens of heaven. Well, you say, yeah, well, that's, I'm a citizen of America. Yeah, me too. Yep, I've got a little gadget on framed in my office that my daughter gave me from my birthday that says that I'm a native-born Texan. Well, right. So that makes me a citizen of Texas, doesn't it? And I am right now not living in Texas, so I'm a citizen of the state I'm living in, which is Oklahoma. Boy, there's a combination for you. But look, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Ultimately, my citizenship and yours, if you are saved, is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change, and the word is transform. The word in Greek, he shall transform. Metaschematizo is the Greek. Metaschematizo, to transform. It's a transformation. It's like the butterfly, you know. He was a worm, but now he's a butterfly. And we are going to be transformed and change our vile body, the body of this death, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, he's got the power and he's got the know-how. And you know, I look at myself, and what do I see as I look in the mirror today? I see a man who's getting older. Yep, dying before my very eyes. I there's no doubt about it. I am, for those of you who don't know, I've had a birthday not long ago, and I turned 70 years old, and I have reached my biblical allotment of years of 70, and who knows how much longer I have. But I'm getting older, and I can look at pictures of myself when I was young, and there's no point in kidding myself. I used to think I was a magnificent-looking creature, and now I am a wreck. Yeah, sorry about that, but that's just the way it goes. We have these vile, weak, earthly bodies. We're under the curse of Adam, and we are getting weaker and we're getting old, but that's not the end. When the Lord Jesus came forth out of the grave, he came forth in the power of resurrection life, a glorified body, not the humble carpenter anymore, same man, different though. Remember when John saw him on the island of Patmos? You can read about it in the first chapter of Revelation, and he was a glorified man with his face shining like the sun and his strength. We're coming out of the graves, believers. We're going to be changed, and we're going to be like him. We have here that he is able to subdue all things unto himself, and that means all things physical. And if you are not saved, you're coming forth out of the grave too, but it will not be to glory. It will not be to glory. You can be saved. Why don't you do that right now? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.